Are you ready to dip in? Welcome to Season 2 of the Divine Intervention Podcast. We're your hosts,
Freya
and Holly, bringing you the pod where lifestyle meets spirituality.
Let's chat about personal growth, navigating life, and raising our vibrations together.
New episodes dropping every week.
Woo! Let's take the plunge. Welcome back, Dippers, to Season 2, Episode 8 of the Divine Intervention Podcast. Today we're dipping into all things self-care, how much we prioritize this in our lives, what we find challenging, and some habits that we might want to shed and replace with some healthier ones. I'm very excited to speak about this today, Holly, because recently, I feel like the self-care topic has come up more and more in my life, and I'm clearly not doing something right here. I definitely need to improve on my self-care.
Yeah, I think, Freya, I think we could all improve on the old self-care. I think life often gets in the way and we get into a habit of not prioritizing ourselves. It's something that even if we think we're doing a pretty good job, we could always improve on.
See, and that links straight into the card of the week. So this week I pulled a card from the Magical Spirit Oracle deck by Alexis Reckon. The card that came up for this week is Sweet Oblivion. This card holds a very strong message. It's okay, I don't know what I'm doing either. And that is such a reassuring thought sometimes. Often we feel like we need to invent the wheel or know exactly what we're doing or know exactly what is ahead of us. And this card is a reminder that the whole human experience is not knowing, is being in between different states, not being sure exactly what the outcome is going to be. This card challenges you to flow with things a little bit more, to have faith in the universe, and just to see where things are going to end up. It also reminds us that we need to have a little bit of a sense of humor at times, instead of thinking in doom and gloom about possible future scenarios. We should just let it be, release it, and just see where we're going to go. Nobody knows exactly what they're doing. We are not here having this human experience to solve the big mysteries. We are just here to be.
That's great guidance for this week, Freya. And I couldn't help but think about a saying that you have often said to me a lot over the past 12 months. You say to me, it's not that deep. And I just feel like it's so true. Whilst we might get bogged down in things that we might seem as such a big deal at the time, and don't get me wrong, they are, we're not making it into anything small, but we're all part of this greater universe. And sometimes all we can do is step back and laugh and flow and remind ourselves everything is temporary and this will pass. And what beautiful guidance to come up during eclipse season. So we are smack bang in the middle of eclipse season now. We are coming up to our second eclipse. They come in pairs, usually 2 weeks apart or thereabouts. And we are coming up for a solar eclipse new moon in Aries. So this second eclipse is happening on the 9th of April. And being a new moon, it's all about new beginnings, fresh starts, new intentions. But as always, as we said last week, during eclipse season, we don't want to dive too deep into those rituals. Basically, it's chaotic energy, it's shaky ground, and all we can do is step back, take our hands off the wheel and flow and be open to these changes. And I think that that ties in so well with that card you just pulled, Freya.
I love it. I feel like we're always pointing out that they mesh so well together, but obviously the universe has our back. It's always working together, so we shouldn't be surprised. I don't think we're surprised actually, but every time we're like, yep, see, here we go again.
And I love that so much. This new moon eclipse coming up is in Aries. You know, that's that fiery energy. It's about the independence, the having courage. And whilst it can be about really jumping in and taking action, during eclipse season, obviously, that's not what we want to do. We just want to step back and flow and be open to those changes. And so I think in that regard, it's harnessing that Aries energy to have the courage to surrender and have that courage to trust in the universe, trust in the bigger picture, and flow with whatever transformation is coming for us.
Clear message for the week ahead. Let life flow. Don't hold on too tight and just see where it ends up. Have faith in the universe.
Guidance for the week ahead.
The week ahead.
Okay. Okay, Dippers, in the spirit of positivity and being our biggest cheerleader for ourselves, Fry and I are going to share a highlight for what has happened in the past week. And so obviously we can go quite deep with this, or we can keep it quite fun and light. And that's definitely where mine is at for this week. This ties in so well to our episode of self-care as well. So the highlight of my week was actually going to the hairdresser and getting my hair done. And whilst this might be something that a lot of people get done on a regular basis, for me, I'm such a DIYer. So I've been dyeing my own hair, cutting my own hair for a long time. And so it was just really nice to go in and have that salon experience and have a freshen up and come out feeling really good about myself.
I love getting my hair done. It's just such an amazing feeling to have someone pamper you and be touching your hair. And I absolutely love the scalp massage. That on its own is the highlight of the whole treatment. You do gotta have a little bit of patience for these things, because I know that you got your hair dyed with foil. Did you get foils or highlights?
Yeah, I got a balayage color.
So you need to be patient with this, because at one point for me, that is not self-care anymore, because she's sitting there for a couple of hours. However, what I do have a lot of time for is lunching, going for a nice long lunch. And that is exactly what I did this weekend. We went out to Double Bay, which is just a gorgeous area. For those who haven't been there, haven't been to Sydney, I feel like this is such a ritzy part of the world. All the people there were just absolutely fabulous. I was just sitting there drinking my lychee martini, just watching people go by. And there was not one person that looked out of place or had even a hair out of place. Everyone was just divine. And next to me sat this gorgeous couple with a little Italian greyhound. Now, I didn't bring my little Winston, but I had this little doggy next to me and I was just petting it the whole time, watching people having delicious food. Definitely a highlight of my week. I feel like going straight into the topic for this week. For me, self-care is really pampering yourself, spoiling yourself with things that are of high quality. I love amazing food. I love skincare appointments, massages, but they all have to be top notch for me to really feel like, yes, this is the self-care that I'm needing.
That's beautiful. And again, I know I always point out your Capricorn sun, but it's just so you. And I love that, the fact that you want to prioritize those things for yourself and that it makes you feel like you're giving yourself that care. I think that's really beautiful.
The finer things in life, I absolutely adore them. Now, recently, I really have to be honest, I've not been prioritizing my self-care or my personal health, I would almost say, at all. So I feel like it is linked to external factors often for me, how much I prioritize my own self-care. So the last couple of weeks, a lot of things have happened externally for me. We've moved cities. Unfortunately, I lost my grandma. On top of that, my little dog has been sick again. So a lot of external factors. Work pressure has been really, really high. And then I just noticed that I just drop all self-care things to the point that I almost do not have the discipline. Well, I say almost, I do not have the discipline to look after myself properly. And looking after myself, I mean physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Things I normally really value, which are eating consistently, eating good nutritious meals, working out regularly during the week, and meditating, sound healing, visualization, all those things, I can't even like remember the last time that I did that consistently, which is shocking. So I don't want to come on here and have a whole episode about telling how much I love massaging and self-care when clearly I am not practicing what I'm preaching at the moment.
Well, it's interesting. Whilst you love those things, you're clearly not prioritizing them at this point in time. And I think, yeah, it's really hard to prioritize yourself and prioritize your self-care. So you just mentioned some big events happening in your life. So what do you feel like are the biggest things that happen in life that get in the way of self-care?
I feel like anything that emotionally brings me down can be a massive trigger for me to not prioritize my own self-care. So for me, I'm a very introverted person. So if I feel emotionally unstable and uncomfortable, and if I'm grieving and all of that, I tend to just go inwards and quiet, and I tend to slowly start shutting down. So emotional triggers for me are a huge thing that can get in the way of prioritizing self-care. It's really interesting because it should be the other way around, right? If you're not feeling emotionally, mentally, physically well, you should be really focusing on that. But for me, it seems to be going the opposite way. The more I'm worried about, the less I do, the more I retreat into like a little ball and just be sad. What about you?
I totally get that. I'm exactly the same. If something's happening in my life, like something's going wrong or something's got me emotional or, yeah, something hasn't gone the way that I'd expected, rather than focusing on getting myself back on track and giving myself the best chance to recover from it, I tend to just be like, fuck this shit. I'm not going to the gym. I'm just going to have takeout for dinner. I'm not even going to wash my makeup off before I go to bed. Like maybe I won't even shower today. Like all of those things happen. And I'm not ashamed to say that because we're all human and it is just interesting. I never really thought of it that way.
It is honestly the circle of doom, and I'm in the circle now. So what is happening? I have a lot of work on, a lot of things to do. So basically, I need to get up early in order for me to work out, eat nutritious, do all my work, and then go to bed. See, emotionally, I don't want to be doing anything. Like, I feel like I'm craving for a break to not do anything at all. So what is happening is, at night, I set my alarms. I'm like motivated. Let's go for it. I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to get all these things done. And then I wake up and I'm emotionally and mentally so tired that I'm like, ugh, I just can't be bothered getting up. I snooze my alarm. 2 hours go by. You get up later. Then you're behind on work. Okay, where is the cut going to be? For me, it's always going to be on movement or nutritious meals. Then I'm not eating nutritious, so my body doesn't have the energy. So when I wake up, my body doesn't feel fueled and it doesn't want to get out of bed because there's no nutrients there. Being a vegetarian, every vegetarian out there will probably relate to this very much. If you do not eat enough protein, then you're going to notice that. So I'm low on protein. Everything is just slowly falling apart.
That really is the circle of doom, that old cycle. And what I was just thinking then, Freya, like, it really is the balance of that masculine and feminine energies. I know we didn't really plan to speak about this today, but I think when you're feeling into your feminine energy, it's about leaning into what you actually feel like doing in that moment. And the masculine is more like what I should be doing. So it's just interesting that, say, something like self-care, eating well and doing nice things for yourself in that regard can fall into that masculine energy because it's like, oh, I should do that. I feel like I have to do that when all I want to do is snooze the alarm and relax and hide under the blanket, which in that instance would be leaning more into the feminine. So I just think that's a really interesting balance.
It is really interesting. And coming back to the food topic, and I feel like knowing you, I think you can relate to this a little bit. I wouldn't go as far as to say that I have an eating disorder. However, throughout my life, an issue has always been eating consistently and eating nutritious. So when I'm busy or when I'm stressed, I start to eat really weird and really inconsistent. Like today, the first thing I ate was at 1 p.m. was a banana, and I've been working since 8. And it's just so hard for me to prioritize eating consistently. It's so hard for me. And I know that you went through a patch recently where emotionally you were a little bit shaken up as well, and that you mentioned to me that you had this similar struggle where it was hard for you to eat.
Yeah, totally resonate with that. When I'm feeling super anxious and something's worrying me, or I'm just going through a really rough patch, I actually feel nauseous and I just don't feel like eating. So yeah, I just don't prioritize it, even though I know that I'm going to feel more lethargic and more down if I'm not fueling my body. But yeah, I might just have, say, something comforting in the first part of the day, like a coffee. I love my hot coffees. So I might just end up having a coffee. And then before you know it, it's like 4 p.m. and I'm like a little bit hungry maybe. And then I'm just like, oh my gosh, no wonder I feel like shit all around.
That is definitely not good. But I can really relate to it because it just happens. And I feel like we all know how important it is to eat nutritiously. But somehow this is one of these things of food falls under self-care, nutritious food, having a good diet. Definitely for me, like value-wise, However, I just don't prioritize it, which is just, it's just so interesting. I love this topic because there are so many things I'm actually doing that are holding me back to living my best life. It's almost like you're sort of sabotaging yourself a little bit.
I feel like I self-sabotage a lot in that regard because I have been fit and healthy in the past. With a sports background and stuff, I know what I feel like when I'm eating well and moving my body. But it's like there's just something blocking me. I'm just like, no, I cannot be bothered. I've been getting better at it recently, coming out of like a bit of an anxious period. And I've been trying to eat more nutritious meals. I've been trying to eat more food in general and also starting to move my body. And I noticed over the weekend, I started the weekend off with a workout on a Saturday morning. And it actually, like, I was in such a great mood. I was like pretty bouncy. I was very optimistic. And I literally made a mental note to myself like, oh, okay, Holly, bookmark this thought, feel into how your body's feeling, how your mind is feeling right now after having a healthy dinner the night before and then exercising the next day. I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like if you are feeling low and a bit of a slump, it's very hard to get yourself out of that.
Absolutely. And I think the people that I know that are really good at taking care of their physical and mental and emotional well-being, they are the people that don't see it as a luxury. And sometimes I tend to see it as a luxury. It's a luxurious thing to have time to yourself. It, for me, is at the moment not a non-negotiable. And I feel like it should be a non-negotiable. Do you have a set moment aside per week, or do you have like sort of habits or rules for yourself where you're like, okay, I need to eat at least 3 times per week. I need to work out at least 3 times. I need to at least have 1 hour or one pamper session. Do you have anything like that built into your schedule?
Well, this kind of leads straight into one of the things that I know is really beneficial for my self-care, which is routine. And I don't have that at the moment. I don't have that at all. And without it, I feel like I'm floundering. I feel like I'm very imbalanced and not able to prioritize those things of planning the healthy meals, figuring out how many times per week I'm going to work out. And sometimes if I'm in a bit of a patch where I'm finding it hard to prioritize that self-care, I tend to rebel against any kind of structure, which goes against my nature because I have a lot of fixed energy in my astrological chart and I know that I benefit from routine. So something that is paramount for me with self-care is that routine. And it's not just healthy eating and exercising, it's everything. It's scheduling like when I'm going to do my blocks of work, when I'm going to catch up with friends, when I'm going to have quality time with my partner. It's all of it. It's that whole cycle. So the routine thing is a big one for me.
Completely relate to that. I am the same. I know that I need a fixed routine in order to feel my best. However, I get the same as you. My body or my mind, it's probably not my body, it's my mind, is just wanting to rebel. Whenever I feel a little bit low, I just don't want to do anything. Like, I hate the feeling of having to do something. And then putting yourself in a structure almost feels sometimes like you have to do it because you laid the law down for yourself, which is obviously we are just battling ourselves in this lifetime. And I feel like speaking to you about this now, like you're coming out of a little bit of an emotionally challenging patch. I feel like I'm in the middle of it. We both know the solution for us individually. It's just a matter of just getting yourself there and just sticking to it. And just getting your routine back in place, prioritizing the things that are really important, and at the same time, letting things flow a little bit more, not doom think, not getting stuck, not getting bogged down by all these external factors, like the card of the week and eclipse messages are saying.
So when we're feeling like we're in a patch of low self-care and we know the things that are going to make us feel better, but we're rebelling against it, what is your body and your mind and your soul craving in that moment in a more manageable self-care way? If it seems like too much to like go to the shops, buy your healthy groceries and get to the gym or the Pilates class, what's something else that you feel like your body and soul might be craving at that time?
So I was reflecting on this today before we recorded this episode. I feel like my mind can be very lazy and does not want to do the hard work when I need to prioritize my self-care, right? So I feel like I'm looking for that quick fix, which for me is eating something very unhealthy, like junk foodish, which is lazing around in bed, which is scrolling on social media, just nonstop, just getting external factors. So those are the things that I will automatically gravitate towards, and that my mind and my brain is signaling me, I want that, I want that, I want that. Whereas I know that healthy things that can really help me, that are easily accessible, are having a nutritious meal, even a salad. Like, a salad is not that much work to make. It almost takes about the same time as ordering something, a burger from Uber Eats, and waiting for it. Moving my body. Nowadays, it's so easy to move. I can go out for a walk. I have two dogs. I could just go out for a walk, or I could get a Pilates class up on YouTube. There's so many things I could do. Meditate, visualize, just spend time in solitude is really important for me without external factors. So this is without a TV show, without a phone, maybe a book, maybe sometimes not, but just time to just sit, which is almost close to meditation. But those things are less appealing because often you need to do them for a couple of days or weeks before you get the result. Whereas the quick fixes make you feel better instantly, or at least a bit more comfortable, but in the long term, they're only slowing you down more. What are some of your, I would say, remedies when you feel low? Where do you gravitate towards?
Well, it's interesting. I definitely have my things that I gravitate towards that are good for me, and I have the things that I know are good for me that I don't do, like that routine. But one of my big ones that I love is quality time with my partner, and that is what I crave when shit's going wrong in my life, or when I am just noticing that I'm feeling a bit burnt out, or I'm just too much on the go. I'm literally craving just some one-on-one time with my partner, usually just doing nothing or watching Netflix or just snuggling. So that is something that I really realize that I need. Like, if I think back to our love languages episode back in season one, quality time's like right up the top for me. So that's something that I really, really crave. In saying that though, sometimes I can just take it a bit too far. Rather than using it to just top me up and fuel me to then kickstart me into wanting to plan my routine, or, you know, doing something else that will be better for me, I want to just stay there and stay in that comfort bubble. Do you ever get like that?
That's beautiful. I guess, like, in a way, I definitely get a lot of comfort from being around my partner, but this is another topic, and we have to talk about this too, about feeling lonely or feeling alone. I guess, and this is very much linked to my astrological chart, I'm very much a person that if I feel down, I feel very alone, and it doesn't matter if I have all my loved ones around me caring for me, I often feel misunderstood, not really heard, and like I have to fight the battle on my own. Whereas I know that that has absolutely nothing to do with the people around me. That is just sort of one of my life's challenges, life's message, I think, based on my chart. You have to confirm this for me, but that is how I feel. But yeah, it definitely helps, like, being around people that comfort you. My partner is amazing, and he is good at, I wouldn't want to call it tough love, but he pulls me up. So if I come to him too much for comfort, he's not the type of person to say to me, oh, I feel so sorry for you. Come, let's order some food. Let's make you feel good. No, he says to me, no wonder you're not feeling your greatest. I haven't seen you work out in a little while. We haven't really spoken about the emotional changes you're going through. You're probably really bottling it up inside. You also haven't cooked a nutritious meal in a little while. Like, let's get you back on track. So that is his approach. So he's very rational, very systematic, very much of the routines, which is basically exactly what I need. But I tend to rebel against that because I'm like, nah, I just want to lay in my bed and order unhealthy food and just chill for a little bit. So I know that when I go to him, he's like, nah, let's get you sorted out, which is probably good.
That's actually hilarious that you want to rebel against it. It's beautiful that he recognizes that in you and then wants to help you, rather than just like point it out and have like no sympathy.
Absolutely. He helps me a lot. For example, yesterday I told him that I've been struggling to eat consistently and I work from home. He's not here, so he can't really track what I'm eating in the mornings or in breakfast. And then he does say to me, yeah, you need to prioritize that more. You haven't been eating well. But then again, like 5 minutes later, he sent me through meal services with vegetarian meals and everything so that I just eat. So in his way, he's very go, go, go approach, which is amazing, which is so helpful for me. Because if I would be with someone that would comfort me too much, I wouldn't change. I wouldn't make a change. I need that a little bit.
It's really beautiful that you recognize that whilst you might not enjoy it in the moment, you're super appreciative that that dynamic is really working for you.
I'm appreciative after the fact, not during.
While we're talking about things that are bad for us, like the staying under the covers for too long or ordering the Uber Eats, is there anything that you know is an absolute detriment to your self-care that isn't Uber Eats and lack of routine?
Absolutely. We spoke about this in an earlier episode, protecting your energy. I feel like if I'm leaking energy all the time, and with energy leak, I mean worrying too much about anything external relationships wise. So for example, if you have a friend that is consistently bringing you down, holding you back, if you have a client that you're not really gelling with, and every time you have to have an interaction, you fear having that interaction, that is something that I feel like can really, really slow you down and bring you lower than you may already were at that point. So that is something that I do feel like one of the few things self-care wise that I'm consistently good with. I try to really watch closely and see what is happening around me in my relationships. And if something happens, when I feel an energy leak, I try to close the leak, if we say. So it doesn't mean you instantly have to cut someone off. Obviously, someone continues to do the same behavior and it's just not gelling, then you have to. But I often try to pull that person up. This is how you make me feel. Is that how you intended? And that often shows it together with their actions over time. So it is also a form of self-care to stand up for yourself and to protect your energy, which is very much what we spoke about. I'm not a people pleaser by nature. So for me, it's fairly easy to do that. I feel like you tend to be a little bit more of a people pleaser. How do you navigate those sort of energy leaks? Or do you experience them at all? Or
I am 100% that girl. I am the yes girl. I am the people pleaser. And I've come a long way. But yeah, it gets really hard for me. I notice that my energy is just completely depleted when I'm not prioritizing myself. And yeah, putting yourself first is the best form of self-care. And so I do recognize that. And sometimes it might be, you know, just beautiful people around me that I love who are asking me to catch up because they want to see me, which is amazing. I struggle at times in that point to be like, okay, what do I actually want to do? I actually want to do something for myself. But this person really wants to see me. So then I'll more than likely people please with them and go to that catch up anyway. And whilst I'll have a beautiful time with them, I'll come home and I'll feel a lot more drained. And so it is hard being a people pleaser. So dippers, if you are built that way, I feel for you. I wish I wasn't by nature, but I am.
It's a beautiful thing that you are, though. It's such a beautiful trait, but it is a challenging way to be in regards to looking after yourself and your own mental and emotional well-being. Do you feel like over the years you have found yourself becoming a bit more tough or harsh, or noticing energy leaks a bit sooner and putting up a boundary a bit more? Or do you actively work on prioritizing yourself more than pleasing others?
This is a hard one. It's definitely, as I've gotten older and into my 30s, I've become better at being aware of how other people's energies are affecting me, or just where my energy levels are at and whether I even have space for that person. So I'm getting better at recognizing it and setting boundaries and vocalizing how I'm actually feeling and plugging those energy leaks. It really does come down to that awareness. And I think to even get to that point of awareness, you need to find some stillness and find a little bit of you time, which is self-care. Carving out, even if it is just 5 minutes, to just center yourself and recognize how are you feeling before you make a decision about something.
That is great advice, to just sit with your emotions, sit with your feelings, and then process things before you go ahead and make a big change. Wrapping it up a little bit today, would you say self-care for you is necessity or luxury?
It's necessity. It's absolute necessity. Well, quickly breaking it into two parts, I would say that there are some things considered self-care that are absolute necessity, and that is like routine and protecting my energy, things like that. And then there are other things that are a little bit more of a luxury, like, yeah, would I feel amazing if I got 3 massages a week and got my hair done every fortnight and whatnot? Yes, of course. But then that is more of a luxury for me.
I think I'm completely the same as you. I do try to prioritize the luxury things as well, because it just makes me feel so good. Like, I absolutely adore getting massages. So if it makes you feel good, then it is worth your money too. Sometimes it feels wrong to spend, let's say, $500 on either a course about your personal growth and development, or on a tarot reading or an astrology reading or a massage. These things are not essential for our survival, but it is worth it if it makes you feel a lot better. Instead of just spending it on materialistic things, it can really help to spend it on experiences as well. And I like that you split it up in necessity. So for me, definitely movement, eating nutritious, meditating, visualizing, spending time alone. Those are absolute necessities. And then sometimes a little sprinkle of the luxury as well, which will be the massages and other treatments and stuff. So to end things on a positive note, because clearly we're both in a little bit of a patch where we can definitely improve on our self-care, which is totally fine, by the way. Life is ebbs and flows. It happens. We can't be perfect in every aspect all the time. My resolutions for my self-care in the upcoming 4 weeks, I'm doing a close deadline so that I have to improve quickly, is setting a routine, very much like you said, and sticking to it, eating nutritious and healthy, and going back to moving my body daily.
They're great. I love those mini resolutions. And if I might just off the cuff set some for myself, I think it would be establishing that routine and not rebelling against it, and finding that healthy balance between quality time with my partner and kicking myself into gear.
I absolutely love it. Well, it has been so interesting chatting to you today about all things self-care. I actually feel a little bit more motivated now.
I love that. And I mean, maybe we should have thrown that in there, that sometimes we might need our alone time, but sometimes we might just need a chat with a good friend. And so yeah, dippers, let us know, what are your favorite ways to prioritize self-care? Or do you prioritize self-care? What does it mean to you?
We can't wait to hear from you. Next week, we will be checking in to see if we stuck to that routine. I'm going to implement it tomorrow, and we will have a brand new episode for you. Until our paths align again,
we'll see you at the next dip.